Your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are a light of the world. Light is the absence of the darkness. It dispels the darkness. When things are dark, you can't see anything. Details are lost. Sometimes even shapes are lost. It depends on how dark it is. Sometimes it's so inky black that you can't even see your hand at the end of your arm. But as soon as you introduce the tiniest bit of light, it begins to illumine the darkness, and it begins to bring out the details and the characteristics of things. Light has, as I mentioned, that physical quality that is what we perceive with our eyes, but it also has, metaphorically speaking, a moral quality. Light represents purity, a pure heart, a pure mind. God ultimately is the source of all light, both moral and physical, and it reflects the fact that He is pure. It's another way of saying holiness befits our God, so that His character in holiness reflects that moral purity. And the scripture says we are to be holy even as God is holy. We are to be those who reflect His holiness and His glory. Light is a bit of a mystery. I want to talk about physical light for a moment. But light is a bit of a mystery. And what you see on the screen there is the portion of the electromagnetic spectrum that deals with visible light. There is invisible light, and depending on which end of the spectrum it moves away from, it can be relatively harmless. For example, in this room here today, we have all kinds of waves of light passing through and around and over us and probably through us. That's why our cell phones work. That's why our radios work. That's why other things of that nature work. It's why the television works. You have high frequencies and ultra-high frequencies and infrared and all of those things on the side of the spectrum that leaves visible light as red and moves on up. And there comes a point where you can't see it anymore. It's fascinating to do photography with an infrared filter on your camera if you have a sensor that will pick it up, because there are amazing colors that can be seen once you eliminate the visible spectrum and get into the infrared. But going the other way from the violet side down in the lower realms, oh, that makes a big difference, because you go from visible light, which is violet, to invisible light, which is ultraviolet. And ultraviolet is why it's not a good plan to stay in the sun all the time, because the sunlight is comprised of a fair quantity of ultraviolet light. And you can't see it, but it sees you, and it's getting into your skin, and it's beginning to damage your cells and dry out your skin. And eventually, it may cause moles to develop, and some of those may not be very good. You can get various kinds of skin cancer if you spend a lot of time in the sun. Ultraviolet light is so powerful that you can sterilize instruments with it. I have an ultraviolet sterilizer in my lab. It stays very cool. It doesn't use heat. It simply uses ultraviolet light way down the spectrum, and it kills everything it touches, so that bacteria and virus and everything is killed by this ultraviolet light. And if you put yourself in there, if you could fit, you wouldn't last a real long time. You would be damaged because of that. And then you get down to x-rays. And you know what those are like? They can cause all kinds of physical problems to your body. If you have enough of them, I was kidding a technician the other day when I had a CT scan. She said, "Have you ever had a CAT scan before?" I said, "Yes, I've had enough of them that I should be glowing in the dark by now," because x-rays penetrate your whole body. And if you get enough exposure to x-ray, it will cause cancer and damage bones and other things. So you have to be careful about your exposure. Have you ever noticed when you've had x-rays taken that the technicians wear these little rectangular tags on their collar? Those are meters that measure their exposure to radiation. And when they reach a certain number, they have to stay out of the environment for a bit, because they can't be exposed anymore. And so, and then you go down to gamma rays, and then you get even deeper into the electromagnetic spectrum, and it's pretty intense. Here's a fascinating thing about it. The further up you go toward the red side, the less powerful the light is. The more you go toward the violet side, the more powerful the light. That's why, as you extend one way or the other, these are relatively harmless over here, but these are very damaging down here. And yet light is a bit of a mystery. It leaves a question as to whether light is a wave or is it a particle? You know, the whole universe is made up of tiny particles, very tiny particles. Sometimes my mind goes on these journeys, and I imagine how it was that Jesus walked through the wall of the upper room and appeared in the midst of his disciples. I think he had that capacity in the resurrection to walk through the wall, because his particles and the wall's particles avoided each other. And there he was, standing in the midst of them. And that's kind of fascinating, because you know what there's more of than particles? Space. There's more room than there are particles. And so if you could figure out how to make them mesh, you could pass them through each other, perfectly solid objects. You're sitting on mostly air this morning, and yet the tiny particles that hold your chair together provide enough surface to hold you up. So is light a particle or is it a wave? Hang with me. There is a point to all of this. We're getting there. Sometimes it acts like a particle. And in that slide that you see there, it's kind of interesting, because particles leave relatively sharp shadows, whereas waves tend to kind of bend around and leave less distinct shadows. A particle of maybe purple light would be comprised, a color of purple light would be comprised of red particles and blue particles. Because every color that there is will fit into that visible spectrum somewhere that we can see. Every single color that we see is a combination of that visible spectrum of light. And I thought of some examples that illustrate the different kinds. Microscopes originally were designed with only one primary wave of light that they interpreted with the highest resolution and sharpest image. They were called achromatic lenses, and you might have noticed as we passed along that green was right in the middle of the spectrum. It is about 550 or 546 nanometers, and the objectives in the microscope were designed to resolve green light better than any other color. Later on, they learned how to put lenses together and stack them in such a way that they could resolve several colors into focus. But originally, it was green light that they wanted to put in focus. I wrote an article one time for a peer-reviewed journal, and I printed some images that I had taken with a camera through the microscope, and I left them green because I was using a green filter, and I left them green, and somebody commented that it was obnoxious to look at all those green photos. Well, I didn't necessarily disagree with the critic. It was obnoxious, but I left it that way for a reason, because I wanted people to know that I was using one of those simple achromatic lenses that was interpreting predominantly the green light, and that gave the sharpest image that we could develop. On the other hand, light sometimes acts like particles. And when you go to buy a camera, what is one of the questions you want to ask when you buy a camera? Huh? Okay. After you get past that, what do you want to know? Pixels. How many pixels does it have? Doesn't nearly everyone ask that question? How many pixels does this have? And what do you want? I want 24 megapixels. That's a lot of pixels that I can get in that camera. And the sensor sizes are the same for most of the cameras, but the number of pixels they can squeeze into it varies. And so if you have a 24 megapixel camera, it has twice as many pixels as a 12 megapixel camera. And you say, oh, well, I want the 24 megapixel camera because that's the one that's going to get the most light. Well, not necessarily. The amount of light that strikes the sensor is the same no matter what camera you have. The question is, how much of it can it hold on to? How much of it can it translate into an image that you can print out and enjoy? And Nikon has done an interesting approach to their sensors. They tend to go toward lower sensors. So you might spend $5,000 on a Nikon Pro camera that only has a 12 megapixel sensor. And you say, why would you do that? Well, because it's got a bigger diameter and it has more volume. And so if light is a particle, how many particles can you pack into the sensor, into the pixel? How many can you fit in there? And one of the reasons that Nikon does such a great job with low light images, shadows and so forth, is because it's able to gather more of the light that's available and allow us to appreciate and discern what's in the shadows, whereas some cameras, it just all goes black. And so for that reason, nature photographers tend to like Nikon, and portrait photographers tend to like Canon. Those are two very competitive versions of digital SLR cameras, and it depends on how many little photons can I pack in this pixel. And the more you can pack in, the more intense the colors become, the more intense the shadows become, the greater the image turns out to be in terms of its detail. And so I love fooling with that stuff, can you tell? But anyway, there are many different aspects to light that sometimes it looks like a wave and sometimes it looks like a bunch of particles that are bouncing around out there. But here's the question, and I told you there was a point to all this. Here's the question. In what way do you resemble the light of Christ? Are you violet? You remember where violet is? It's at the bottom. By the way, do you know how to remember the colors of the visible spectrum? Did you ever hear about this fellow named Roy G. Biv? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. And so you can always remember the colors. And if you look at a rainbow, they follow that sequence. And if you look at a prism, it breaks it into that sequence. You can always determine by keeping in your mind Roy G. Biv. Got that? You'll always remember that now, right? Because you heard it on Sunday, and the pastor never lies, unlike the internet. So, but are you purple or are you violet, like intense and passionate and powerful? Are you green, promoting growth and helping things grow and develop? Are you red? You know what a red light does? It enhances night vision. And among other things, it makes you able to transition between, say, an instrument cluster and what's going on outside in the dark. It doesn't blind you. It doesn't give you night blindness. It's a gentle kind of light for the eyes at night. And details can be brought out that you would otherwise miss. So, there are various reflections of color and concentrations. In the analogy, our colors are unique and represent the sum of all that we are. You remember I said that out of that simple spectrum of seven colors, we can get millions of iterations. And you are a particular color of light. It goes to your background. It goes to your education. It goes to the number of siblings you had. It goes to your parents. It goes to where you were born. Some of these things you have absolutely no control over, whereas other things you're able to influence. But as you mature and grow, your personality begins to develop, and your giftedness and your aptitudes and your attributes begin to take shape so that other people can see that. You really don't know. You can see kind of a hint at what a child might become when they're 4, 5, or 6. But when they're 15, you get a better picture, part of which you hope they'll grow out of. And by the time they're 25, they have a pretty well-defined identity. And then when they become saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and adds to that his gifting so that you become very unique in all the aspects of your person. There are no two people alike in the universe. There aren't any two that are just alike. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that God is going to give us a name. When Jesus returns, he's going to give us a name. And that name will be unique to us. It will be descriptive of our person. And he knows that name. He knows my name is Paul, but he has a special name for me that will reflect all that he has made me to be. And so on the one hand, no two of us are alike. It takes all of us to reflect. You know what happens when you put all the light together, by the way? When you put all the colors together? What do you get? White light. You get white. And when you put them all together, you get a brilliant, bright white. And our life within the family of God should combine to give that glorious shine that looks more like the light of God, because no one of us can perfectly reflect everything that God is. We're always going to be deficient in some way. We're not going to be able to completely represent the details of the character of God. And so, what is the kind of light that you are? Do you know? Have you thought about it and discovered it? Somehow there's another page in here. Regardless of the color or intensity, we are designed to shine the light of God. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world," which is very interesting because God is the light and Jesus is the light. But when we become his, we also become light. We reflect him in the darkness, and we bring revelation, we bring discernment, we bring out the details. Sometimes we become offensive to people, not intentionally, but we expose things they'd rather keep hidden. As God also, by his Holy Spirit, penetrates the lives of individuals, he exposes things that they want to stay hidden. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And yet we are made to enjoy and rejoice in the light. So that men may see you, he says in verse 16, and glorify God. Let your light shine before others in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our lives are to have the quality of the miraculous, such that people recognize that our works have their source in God. We are a reflection of him, and therefore we bring him glory by the way we live and act. Do you notice that? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. They should be able to recognize that there's something about your life that is miraculous, that is different, that is amazing. And they should be able to put two and two together and realize that that something is God. And they should be able to see in you a reflection of his person and his nature so that they bring glory to him. And if you're a child of God and the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, notice that Jesus says, let your light shine. It's not a question of whether or not you have light. You do have light. It's a question of whether or not you allow the light to shine or you obscure it by living in another way. And so I go back to the nature of the wave and the particle, and I ask the question, have you polished your mirrors lately? Are they clean and clear without smudges? Does the light of God bounce off in a way that his image is reflected? And have you enlarged your photo buckets, your pixels, so that you are able to absorb more of him? This goes to spiritual depth. Are you in the Word? Are you in prayer? Are you cultivating a relationship with God? Are you fellowshipping with other believers? Are you doing those things that deepen your growth and your spiritual life in such a way that you're able to absorb more and more of God and therefore look more and more like him? We are the light of the world. Jesus has resurrected and risen, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Father is in the heavenly realm. The Holy Spirit abides in us, and we are his lamps in this world. We are the ones that reflect the glory of God. Jesus said, the works that I've done, you will do also in greater works, because I'm going to my Father and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Are your mirrors shiny? Are your buckets deep and wide? Are you able to contain more and more of God and reflect more and more of his glory? No analogy is perfect. There are certainly deficiencies in the one I've shared with you this morning, but I hope that it will be something that you remember. The clearer your lenses, the brighter your mirrors, the deeper and wider your photocells, the more you will reflect the glory of God, and people will see it and rejoice in him. And that's our purpose. It's not to cause people to look at us and say, wow, you're something. It's for people to look at us and say, wow, I sense God is in you. Are you winsome like Jesus was? Are you attractive the way Jesus was? Do broken people seek you out the way they sought Jesus, because you have something to give that will bring healing? Are you reflecting the glory of God? Let your light so shine before men, before people, that they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Father, make us good reflectors. Make us good censors. Make us to be those who portray even the details of the dimmest sections. May we reflect who you are and your glory in ways that draw people to you. We're about to start another year, 2020. This year, may we purpose to reflect your glory and your light in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.